There's always been that. But he said, he didn't say, well, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Boy, I can tell you this, that's made a lot of bad press for a lot of the signs that are given us in Scripture. You say, well, you shouldn't ask God for a sign, or, you know, you shouldn't put any stock in signs. And this should be a sign unto you. You should find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. What's wrong with that sign? There's many signs in Scripture that God said, I will give you that to help you in your journey of faith. There are signs. The reason he told that Pharisaical group, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, they came to him after they've seen him raise the dead, calm the storms, feed the multitudes, give sight to the blind, cleanse the leper, healing, speech to the dumb, mobility to the lame, hearing to the deaf, and on and on and on. And they say, show us a sign. What more do you want? You know, so he said, that's an evil and adulterous generation. I'm not going to show you anything more than I've been showing you. So that's why he slams dunks the signs there. He didn't rebuke his disciples, which Jesus would have rebuked them if that question would have been improper. He just started answering. This was, here's some of the things. He began to list those things off. Now, I'm getting all fired up over things that I got to calm down over. Verse 36 of that same chapter. I think we'll just go cut to the chase and hit that. I want to read this. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. You can just draw a little circle around the day. And knew not until, title of tonight's message, the flood came. The flood came. If that's going to get cold, Dave, you can go ahead and shut it. It feels good on me, but I... How many of you know that cold air does not rise? How many of you know that, okay? Some of the women out there pull their own coats around. So you can go ahead and shut that when you'd like to. Leave that up to you. And took them all away. Also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall be two in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one taken, the other left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the householder had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then, we'll stop at 44. We'll just stop at 44. This goes all the way through chapters 25 and 26. It's three chapters called the Olivet Discourse. The flood came. The warnings are over. Keep in mind Noah. 100 years building a boat, an obvious sign. Anybody who went by saw it, what's the deal? And he became a preacher of righteousness. He would do the ministry of a prophet, a foreteller. Not just a forth teller. I'm a prophet in the sense of a forth teller. But I'm not telling you anything new. I can proclaim, thus saith the Lord, but I'm not going to tell you, well, God just told me, be real careful with that. Would you say amen to that? If it lines up with Scripture, you can go ahead and preach the word. In those days, I got news for you. When he was giving a warning, God had said, it's coming, and he believed him. And so he began to preach and warn people, and give warnings. No more warnings, no more preaching, until the day, that he went into the ark. Now, I don't want to make more of that than there is, but I believe, and I think you can take Genesis 7:1 and verse 4, that God said, come into the ark. How many of you know God was going to be in the ark with them? I can't tell you to come into some place that I'm not already there. I can tell you to go into places I'm not there. But when you use the word come, I'm in here, come on into the ark. And it said he went into the ark, he and his wife and his children, and yet 7 days more. Now, it's hard, that's why I'm not going to make a major point out of this, to see that same timing as he reiterates something. This is Moses writing, God inspiring, giving the words of this event, that, well, maybe he's not getting on yet. Well, he said he went on over here, but he's not really loading up until over here later on in the chapter. I believe that 7:1 is making reference to the fact the animals are on. I've been in and out of that door a number of times. He said, now gather your family, get your belongings, get on the boat. And I think the door stayed open for another 7 days as an extension of God's love and grace to anyone who might want to get on that boat. Who, anyone? Because I got news for you. When he went on that boat, they thought, either he is so crazy or else he believes this so strongly. What if it's true? What if it's true? Until the day that he got on the boat. 7 days, when you're talking 100 years, it's a millisecond. It's no time. And then God shut the door. And when he shut the door, I have talked to people about the coming of the Lord and had them roll their eyes. I would encourage everybody to trust Christ now. Put your faith in Christ now. Because there's going to come a time when those who've heard, God himself is going to send strong delusions so they can't believe the gospel. Scary? Very. How many of you know that God is not running a bluff when it comes to judgment? Is he merciful? How many of you remember Abraham's negotiation with the Lord when he's about to destroy Sodom? So I don't want a God that judges people so harshly. There is no other God. This is the way God is. He would cease to be God if he said, sin is no longer going to be judged. I am no longer holy. You realize what that does to God? Can't do that. It is a much a part of the love of God that God could not love if he were not just, and could not be just if he himself were not holy. He judges everything according to his standards. When he made man, he made him holy so he could have fellowship with a holy God. It was sin that broke the fellowship. It must be judged. You think God wasn't serious? One stinking piece of fruit, one violation of the law, and look at the mess it's brought on us. So think in the light, think differently about God. I've talked to people, their eyes over, you tell them about the Lord's going to come and there's going to be judgment upon the earth. It's going to be judged someday. Yeah, right. That's what I think it was like in the days of Noah. That's what I think it's like in the days before the Lord comes. Now, I've only got one point to this sermon, and it's in the conclusion. So this is all groundwork, just foundational stuff. Jesus himself uses Noah as a literal figure, a real person that he made that walked with him in the days the ark was being prepared. Who at one time were disobedient when once the long-suffering God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, and which few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. He brought them through the water. On the ark that he told them exactly. It was his idea, and these are the dimensions, and that's the material you use, and it'll see you through. How many of you think that the ride on the ark got rough on occasion? I mean, you got the earth busting up, the fountains of the deep. Anybody ever been to Kitchity-Yippee, the springs up in the... What is it? Cranks out 65,000 gallons of water every minute or something. Just got a river coming out of the thing. That's peanuts compared to the water that's in the earth. When God broke it up, water's coming up this way. This is a once for all flood. Never be another one like this. The heavens open up, the treasuries of the rain God made, stored up, had it prepared for this day of judgment, and they came down 40 days and 40 nights. Do you know that everything living outside, animal, beasts, and humans, all died in the flood? Only the ones who were on the boat survived. Whew. We have no clue. I dare say this boat that God was on with them. And let me make this statement. I think it's worth saying. Just because you're walking with God, just because you're in the boat with God, don't think that every day's a smooth sail. How do you know the disciples, Jesus said, get into the boat, we're going to the other side. He's heading to Gadara, where the demoniac of Gadara is going to come running out. Jesus knows this, the disciples are clueless. The storm that came up suddenly, and Some of these guys are veterans on the boat. They know this is no normal storm. It came up quick. They've been in storms on. They think we're going down. Jesus sleeping on the boat. They are with God in the boat, going where God told them to go, going to do what God wants them to do, and there's a storm that they almost go under in. We cannot think, people, we all need some concept of God's sovereignty. When you walk with God, it does not mean every day is roses and rainbows. Sometimes just by virtue of being a citizen of earth, things are going to happen that you're going to wonder, and the devil wants to take and make the most of it. Is he really God? We have this idea that walk with God and everything goes ducky. How do you know that if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a citizenship in heaven, but you're still a citizen of earth? And balancing those two babies aren't always easy. How do you know in the world you're going to have part and parcel? But when you trust in Jesus, everything is just a peach. I don't think that's in the Bible. So know that when you go to, because the devil said, are you walking with God and he's allowing this? Yep, he is. And in everything I can give thanks because it's the will of God for me to trust him. I'm just going to trust him. Easy to preach and hard to live. Somebody say amen to that. Good theology, whoa, that doesn't always translate to the road. Didn't always hit where I'd like to walk next. And during those times, it's easy to walk away or stop walking or walk against. But I want to walk with God. That was Noah walked with God. Until the day, Acts 17:31 says this, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. God is going to judge the world. You know, we just read Matthew 24, verses 36. You know what verse 35 says? Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but my words are never going to pass away. God's word is as true and is as sure. How do you know that we don't have to believe his word to make it true? It's true whether we believe it or not. Truth is not dependent upon I'll believe it. If I believe it enough, it'll turn true. What a stupid philosophy. I can believe that I can fly. Don't jump off the roof yet, okay? You ain't going to make it true. God's word is true. He says heaven and earth are going to pass away. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 18. I'm getting near the point I want to make. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. If you want to turn there to it, I'm going to take off. Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, mockers, walking after their own lust and saying, yeah, right, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And I think the penman here is making reference to people that believe that God is the creator God. At least they have sense enough to know they're not a series of accidents over billions of years or a product of an unguided process. There's too much design. God's fingerprints are all over creation. So they say, but everything just keeps on going like it's always been going. God made it. And he got this baby going, gave her a spin and says, there you go. That's not God. God preserves everything that he's made. He keeps going. Can't preach and quote these at the same time. And saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of. Now here it goes. A direct reference to Noah and the flood. That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Paraphrase, God said he was going to judge the earth with a global flood. And it happened. I wish I had the National Geographic that 12, 15, 20 years. How have you in your mind, you say that was only 10 years ago and it was 20. And if you have that yet or not. It's actually that. Well, whenever this was, I would like to find that National Geographic. And they said, the possibility of a global flood. And the reason they said it was because scientists trying to disprove there was ever a flood that went 15 cubits above the highest peaks. And all kinds of good theologians and higher criticism try to say, well, maybe it was just in this area of the continents broke up. I mean, the whole earth changed because of God's judgment on this place. And the fountains of the deep gave up the water. The waters, there's never been a rain, nor ever will be, like this. They were trying to explain why they can go on some of the highest mountain peaks in the world, do core samples, and find evidence of marine life there.
Well, someone took it up there and put it there.
No. At one time, it was covered with water. Different mountain peaks. We're talking Himalayas and different parts of the world. So they said, possibility that this really is true, but we don't want to give the Bible any credibility, or we want to say that it was because of God knowing the ark and the judgment. Just maybe there was a great flood one time. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, verse 7, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. We took a look at Noah's time, said the earth was corrupt and full of violence. How have you know it's hard to find a time in history where cultures are not corrupt and violent? They are. The corruption and violence in Noah's day was on steroids. The corruption and violence when the Lord returns and judges the earth with fire is going to be corruption and violence on steroids. See, it's all relative. Everything's the same. It always continues the same. In my lifetime, I can tell you I have seen a change. I got to judge America because that's the only country I live in. I wouldn't want to be a policeman today. We have a grandson that's heading that direction, taking college classes, criminal justice and stuff. He said, Grandpa, what do you think? I think there's a need. How many of you know God can protect you in that job as well as he can protect you in the pulpit? So, yeah, God may have you to be there. You have to be willingly ignorant to say our culture is the same as it was 40 years ago. Willingly ignorant. I remember when cell phones came out, I said, I ain't going to have one of them stinking things. Now I don't know what I'd... How do you function without one? How do you know there's been a change? He said, there's a day coming, I'm going to judge this earth with fire. I'm not going to do her with water, but I'm going to do her with fire. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What did it say about the days of Noah? He was long-suffering. He was kind and patient. People say, I don't want a God that judges so harshly. Wait a minute. Don't forget the warnings. Don't forget the obvious boat, the obvious cross. Don't forget those kind of things. And he says, I'm going to judge you one day, but I am not willing that any should perish. So I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to continue to send my preachers out. I'm going to send the body of Christ functioning in the world to turn people to Christ. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are in it shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for the hastening and coming day of the Lord, in which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. How many of you know he's not writing to the Chamber of Commerce, he's writing to the church? Believers should say, is this really going to happen someday? Heaven and earth is going to pass away, folks. The word of God is not going to pass away. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'll tell you, the text we'll be having in heaven, it will be the Bible. It'll be the word of God. And it will remind us of what he said before it happened. I know why guys don't preach on judgment. Nobody wants to hear it. Let's talk about something funny. Here's my caution. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. When you hear or read about the coming day of judgment and the Lord's judgment of the earth, I don't think we're going to have this planet absolutely a meltdown, dissolve, and gone. But I believe he's going to judge it with fire, and this isn't my own thinking. I've read some on this. That the planet is going to have such fervent heat all over it globally. How many of you know what fire has to have? Oxygen. It'll suck the oxygen right out of this world, and everyone on it will perish. And it'll be a new world. It'll be a new place for people to live. It'll be purged, purified, cleansed with fire. And I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth, Galatians 21. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, and heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now is the tabernacle of God with men. The kingdom has come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The city that Abraham looked for, a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God, that's the one he's talking about. The heavenly city. And it'll be new. And one thing it will not have in it will be sin. No more curse. It'll be the original that God made Adam in. No sin, no curse, no death, no crying. Wipe away all tears. River of life, tree of life. But I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep. Euphemism for death. You die with... Before all this happens, you die before the coming of the Lord. I would not have you, brother, concerning them who are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. You see, this is making reference to the blessed hope. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, our great God and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Looking for this. Okay, I hate to go back and quote this first part, but I have you, brother, concerning them who are asleep, you sorrow not even others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Why? Because they're there to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. This thing turns back to dust. When it meets my resurrected spirit, it will have a brand new, immortal, without corruption body to meet it, just like Jesus. Travel as fast as thought, you can open the door or go through the wall. You can eat, but you don't have to. How many of you are glad that's in there? Hallelujah. I can relate to eating, okay? How many of you do a lot of fellowshipping and stuff just around food? It's just part of our lives. For I say unto you by the word of the Lord, we who are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so cometh like a thief in the night. Be watching, if you know what hour, be watching. That's the watch, that's the whole crescendo of the Olivet Discourse. Be on your guard, be looking, believe. You're not going to heed a warning unless you put credit in the person who's giving the warning. Is God running a bluff, or is this going to happen? You see, if you believe it's going to happen, you're going to heed the warning. Now, a person who's not in Christ, who's spiritually blind, you can take a neon sign, warning sign, fluorescent orange, hold it up to a blind man, and he can't see it. But to those of us who've been given sight, we should be able to see it. The warning is, how many of you would love to be like the Olivet Discourse says, blessed is the man whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. How'd you like to be walking with God? How you'd like to be praying when this day occurs? When you're in his presence. I was just talking to you. Hallelujah. Now my faith is made sight. Never have to live by faith. You won't need faith in heaven. You won't need any hope. None of the problem. You don't need any of that. Because your faith will be made sight. When they shall say unto you, peace and safety, then sudden destruction upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Wow. No one escaped Noah's flood. Nobody's going to escape the judgment of God on those who are without Christ. Say it ain't fair. God never, you're never, one verse in the Bible that says God's fair. Not one. But you'll find a lot of them that say he's just. What is just? He does what is right. That's the way God is, and I'm so glad he is. My warning, my caution is, don't become a scoffer when you hear someone talk about the day of the Lord or the Lord's coming. Why would I say that to you? Maybe it's just because I've been troubled by some things I've heard from believers who are now questioning and doubting if the Lord's really going to come back and set up a kingdom here. World be judged by fire and people would. How many of you have ever read Revelations? How many of you would say, I don't understand all of Revelations? Anybody want to join us on that? I don't understand a lot. I mean, it was Revelation chapter 6. I've got to quit this. Revelation chapter 6, first five seals, they're going on right now. They are. Famine, pestilence, false Christ. That's been going on since the ascension of Christ. That's all, that's just global. When you get to that sixth seal, that one ain't happening. And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal. And lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. Didn't become blood, but it became like blood. And the stars of heaven, meteors, fell into the earth. Like a fig tree when she casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. Oh, I've seen that one. And every, don't miss this, and every mountain and every island were moved out of its places. Not one was stable. That's never happened. Earth, prepare to meet your God. Every island and every mountain moved out of its places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men, the mighty men and the chief captains and every slave and every bond, every free man and every slave hid themselves in the dens of the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits upon the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great and terrible day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand? Now, I don't understand a lot of that, but I do know the answer to the question posed at the end. Who shall be able to stand? Not one living soul. No one will strut their stuff to God and say, you get away from me. God will mention one name, one word, Yeshua, Jesus. And every knee will hit the deck and every tongue begin to wag. You are Lord, you are Lord, you are Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's going to happen. Do I understand it all? No, I just believe it all. Don't mock that. Don't mock that. Be careful. Don't get into a crowd that says, well, I think that's all just figurative language and metaphors, and it really doesn't. Be real careful with that. Don't become a mocker. A friend of mine in ministry is teetering close to that. And I challenged him and said, don't do that. You don't want to go down that path. I'll close with this, I promise. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, everything we just read, nobody's ever seen it. Hollywood on its best day cannot capture the apocalypse. It ain't gonna, can't on the best day. By faith, Noah. He walked with God by faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he was moved with fear. He put a lot of credibility in the God who made the warning. Somebody who knows what they're talking about gives you a warning about something. This is the stuff that goes on in my mind when I'm sitting at the desk, ricocheting off of one disjointed thought to the next, and trying to... The credibility of the person giving the warning. Do you have credibility in God? Are you moved with reverence for God that you will believe that what he said he will do? Heaven and earth is going to pass away. You know, you don't want your kingdom to be only on this planet. Would you agree with that? You don't want to... This ain't where you want to put all your... My grandpa, Harmon, a young man, and he was, at that particular time, he was a powder monk. He also did all kinds of odd jobs. A young man, married my grandma and stuff. And what was it, October 14th, 1928? Any of you know what that date is? It was the Great Depression. And my grandpa had worked for the bank president, and the bank president really liked my grandpa as a young man because he knew he was a craftsman. He built some cupboards for the man, and he did some odd job work for him, and he just paid him, and he really liked my grandpa. And I'll guarantee you, he knew what my grandpa had in the bank, which wasn't much. It was $1,000. In those days, it was a lot of money. And my grandpa's going to work where they're drilling for the TVA, they're drilling holes, and he's packing powder in them because this great big explosion, rather getting ready to touch her off and lift this mountain. And the president saw him on his way to work, and he said, Ben, he said, go to the bank and draw all your money out. He said, why? He said, don't ask me any questions. He said, I'm going to tell you, you need to go to the bank and draw all your money out. And he said, I'll do it on my way home. He said, don't you even go to work. You go, and when the bank opens, you draw all your money out. My grandpa's thinking, I wonder what's going down. He went to the bank and drew his money out. At noon, the bank closed, and you can read history. He put credit in the bank president to know what he was talking about. That bank ain't trustworthy. Get your money out. And he did it. The one who made the warning of things yet to come is credible. And we would do well to heed his warning. You know what it'll do in our walk of faith? We'll walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That's the culture we live in. And people, I pray God send a breath of revival and a bunch of people get saved in America and throughout the world. But I'll tell you one thing. All the revivals in the world will not stop this day coming. It's going to happen. Walk with God. Walk with God. Don't mock his coming. Yet a little while, and he that shall come. And will not tarry. And to those that look for him will he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You know what that verse means? He's not coming the second time to be a lamb slain for the sin of the world. He's coming to save those redeemed. Whew. How would you like to know my position on the end times? If you could vote, how many of you would vote pre-trib? I'm preparing for the worst and hoping for the best. I am a pre-trib. And I haven't got time to tell you why. Oh, I got the time, but you ain't got that much time, okay? He's coming. Well, would you all stand? We're done. How do you know we're not done? Just stand, okay? If you want out of here tonight, that's a good thing to stand. Let me ask you this question. Everybody's heads up and eyes open. How many of you would like to walk closer to God this year than you did last year? How about that one, okay? Both hands, hallelujah. Lord, I want to so bad. How do you know, if you know Christ, you can walk with God. He's given us everything. He's made every provision. The gopher, he's made it all. Gave us the design. If you want to know how you're supposed to lay yourself down on the template of Jesus Christ, and that's how we're supposed to be conformed to his image. How do you know we're supposed to love people? How many of you know it's hard to like some of them? Would you agree with that? You say, I want you to like them. I want you to love them. We can do her. We can walk with God. And God can continue to conform us to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, right up to the day we take our last breath here and our next breath there, our last heartbeat here and our first heartbeat in His presence. He's coming. Heavenly Father, would You help us? Thank You that You've made a promise You would. We come boldly to the grace, ask You for mercy upon our frailties, our lack of courage, our lack of faith, and ask You, dear God, to give us grace to help us in this time of need. I did not live in the days of Noah, O God. You did not choose me to live then, but now. And in this time frame, O God, I ask You to help me to walk with You. Lord, the deceptions are going to become worse and worse. And if You didn't shorten the days, even the very elect would be deceived were it possible. We do not know what we will face in these days, God. But we know You do, and we can trust You. Help us. If we've drifted away, may we be honest and say, how did that happen? And get back to doing the things when we were closer to You. Renew our love for Your word, our discipline to pray, our courage to share our faith. God, give us grace to humble ourselves, grace to be patient, grace to walk in the Spirit. Oh, Lord, we need Your divine enabling power to help us in this journey. If we are here but a breath, help us, oh God. Send us away tonight a little closer to You than we were when we came. And we will be careful to thank You for whatever You do, because we know You do all things well. You brought us here with Your grace. Dismiss us and send us home with Your grace. In the mighty name, the powerful name of the Lord Jesus, the Christ, Savior of the world, we pray these things. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for coming. I've enjoyed preaching tonight, okay? You're dismissed.